once we get to the 1st of April. Open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1. And there will be a quiz at the end of the class tonight. Give me the definition of one and done. So, praise the Lord. Robin, were you listening? Do you know the answer to, do you know what one and done means, what that term means? No, okay. She was back in the nursery. And so,
you're going to do the PowerPoint, right?
And no PowerPoint tonight, sorry. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Let's get into the word tonight. Praise God. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." Praise God. Now, Mark chapter 9. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. And it'll be on your screen, I think, as well. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Mark chapter 9, verse 17, it says, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.'" Verse 22 now. "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And so the leper comes to Jesus. It's in Mark chapter 1 that we just read. A leper comes to him and he said, "Lord, I know that you can make me clean, but are you willing? I know that if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, I don't know if you're willing." And then here, this man that we just read about here in Mark chapter 9 who came to Jesus concerning his son, he said, "Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And so this man asked him, "Lord, can you do anything?" The first man, the leper, said, "Lord, are you willing to do anything to help me?" The second man says, "Lord, can you do anything?" And so these are the two great questions that you and I must settle in our own hearts in order to receive healing from God. Jesus, are you willing? And Jesus, can you? Are you able? Are you willing and are you able? If you can get those two questions settled in your heart, then you can always receive your healing from the Lord. Jesus, will you? And Jesus, are you able? Now, most people would say, "Yeah, I know that God is able. I know that He can." Most people don't struggle with that. They know that surely if God is God, then He's able. He can do anything, right? If He's God, He can do anything. And so most people would agree with you, "Yes, I know that God is able." But then some people would say, "I know that He can, but I'm not sure that He will. I'm not sure if He's willing." And then a lot of people, though, would come to this point. Most people, or a lot of people, would say generally, "Oh, yes, God can heal all, and yes, God will heal all." Thank God we've been taught the last several years, thank God that revelation has come, that it's God's will to heal all. But, you know, we have to take it a step further. You have to settle it. It's one thing to say, "Yes, God can heal everybody, and yes, God, it's God's will to heal everybody." It's another thing to say, "Yes, God can heal me in this situation that is pressing against me right now, and yes, He will heal me." Amen. You know, it's a little easier to believe that God will heal Mike than it is God will heal you, isn't it? I mean, we have confidence that God will heal the other person, but the devil works on us. "Well, yeah, but now, yeah, Mike, you know, he's an usher. Now, Mike, you know, he walks, but now you know, the devil works on you, but you got something, you know, there, but this issue here, you know, he works on us individually like that." We have to get it settled in our heart. God will heal me, and God can heal me. Amen? And we get that settled in our heart. So tonight, I want to take a closer look at his willingness. F.F. Bosworth He wrote a book called Christ the Healer. It's a classic book on divine healing. It was written back in the 1930s or 40s. He was a great healing minister. He was a young man, heard about the revival that was taking place at Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California in 1906. There was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit at this little mission, this little building that these folks just moved in and just started praying and seeking God, and the Holy Spirit fell, and people were being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, and it was a phenomenon that from that place, the whole world was touched. People went out from there and touched the whole world with the gospel and with the message of God's power. So Bosworth went there sometime after 1906, got filled with the Holy Spirit just as a young man, and God launched him from that into a great healing ministry. F.F. Bosworth made this statement in Christ the Healer. He says, "Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known." In other words, if you don't know if it's God's will for you to have something, then you can't have faith for that. You can only have faith in God to do something in your life if you know it's His will to do it. That's why it's really not scriptural to pray or to end your prayer with, "If it be your will." Has anybody ever been taught that or done that before? I have. Maybe some of you have. You know, you pray and then, "Oh, but make sure you add, Lord, if it be your will." Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't Jesus pray that way? Well, Jesus was praying a prayer where he was consecrating himself to the plan of God. And he prayed not exactly, "If it be thy will." He prayed, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He wasn't asking the Father for healing. You won't find anywhere in the scripture where a person asks God, tag that on at the end, "If it be your will," except for this leper here in Mark chapter 1. He said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." He honestly didn't know. Jesus answered the question for him and for us and for everyone when he said, "I'm willing, be cleansed." You'll never find Jesus saying, "I'm sorry, I'm not willing." You'll never read that. You'll never read that, and you'll never find a person approaching Jesus for healing where Jesus would say, "I'm sorry, it's not my will that you be healed." Jesus, in fact, in John 6:38, Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Everything that Jesus did was an expression of the will of God the Father, wasn't it? And you'll never find Jesus saying, someone that came to Jesus for healing, you never read that in the Gospels where Jesus would say, "I'm sorry, it's not the Father's will that you be healed." Not one time. You can't find it, because it is His will for you to be healed. So let's take a closer look at that, and we can go all the way back into the Old Testament, and we find this thread of God revealing His willingness to heal us in the very earliest books of the Bible, running all the way through to the New Testament and through the New Testament. But in Exodus chapter 15, that's the second book of the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 15, verse number 22, I want to set this up for you. Exodus chapter 14 is where the Red Sea parts and the children of Israel escape out of Egypt and escape from the Egyptians by crossing the Red Sea. And then, you know, the sea came back together. Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the Red Sea. And then in chapter 15, they have just crossed the Red Sea, and the bodies and the chariot wheels of the Egyptians are floating up on the shore where they're at, washing up on the shore. And they start praising God for their deliverance. And then in verse number 22, this is right after it's happened. Verse number 22, look at that with me, of Exodus 15. "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." How many of you know what happens if you don't drink water for more than 3 days? It's not a good situation, is it? And as I've shared before, I stress this fact, this this uh, this biological fact and this scriptural fact with a group of elementary age kids that we were taking an 800-mile trip with in a van. Before we left, I said, "Now, kids, the human body can go without water for 3 days. So we're not going to give you anything to drink because we're not going to stop every 15 minutes and have you." I'm teasing. I didn't do that. And so they were 3 days here. They were 3 days and they found no water. Verse 23 says, "Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah," which means bitterness. "And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" And so notice this, there was bitterness there, and then the people were complaining. You know, bitter people complain. And when you start complaining, you get bitter. It's just a bad cycle, isn't it? It's just a little side thought. Bitter people are quick to complain, and complaining people are quick to get bitter. It's a bad cycle that you need to break in your life. If you're bitter or if you're complaining, they just feed on each other. So just get out of that. Amen? And so, "What shall we drink?" they said. So verse 25, "So Moses, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet." Hallelujah. That's representative of the cross, a tree, the cross that Jesus died on for us. What Jesus did, the sacrifice of Jesus, when we accept that, when we receive that, and we allow, when we give Him all our bitterness and all our complaining, He makes our life sweet. Amen? It's no longer bitter. Praise God. And so the waters were made sweet. And it says, then it goes on to say, look at the rest of the verse with me. There it says, "There He made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there He tested them." And notice what He said to them, and said, look at verse 26, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians." Let's get the rest of that. "For I am the Lord who heals you." So the first thing, right after He delivers them out of Egypt, in fact, He had already healed them when they came out of Egypt. And He's just reaffirming the fact, look, I'm the one that did this for you. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, when He brought them out of Egypt, there were no sick or feeble people among them. Amen. Isn't that amazing? There was upwards of anywhere between 1 million and 3 million. We don't know exactly. Anywhere between 1 million and 3 million of them. And it says there were no sick. That's why we've got it on the banner in the back of our back wall here. That's Psalm 105, verse 37. It says there were no sick or feeble people among them. Praise God. And so He had already healed them. And here He's just reaffirming. He says, "I'm the Lord who heals you. If you'll just follow Me," He says. "If you'll just follow after Me, if you'll do what I tell you to do," He says, "then none of these diseases of Egypt will come upon you because I am the Lord who heals you." And in the Hebrew, He said, "I am Jehovah Rapha." Hallelujah. That's His covenant name. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord your physician. The Lord your healer. Hallelujah. He says, they didn't really know a lot about this God that had brought them. I mean, you know, they didn't have the whole Bible to read like we do. We take a lot of things for granted sometimes. So here they are when, you know, back when they're in bondage in Egypt, you know, and Moses, God had raised up Moses to deliver them, and Moses was running away from that for a long time. But then God appears to Moses when he's 80 years old, and He appears to him in the burning bush, and He says, "I'm going to send you back." And He says, "Well, who shall I tell them, you know, sent me when I go back?" He says, "Tell them that I am that I am. Tell them that the I am has sent you to them to deliver them." And so He goes back and he tells them, He says, "Guys," He said, I've seen God. I've seen the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And He appeared to me." Well, they didn't know a whole lot about Him. You know, they knew their ancestry somewhat. They knew about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they knew a little bit about Him, but they didn't know a lot about His character. So He begins to reveal His character. He says, "I'm the Lord who heals you. I'm your healer. And when you were living in Egypt, You knew disease and you knew sickness. But I brought you out of that. See, for us today, that the children of Israel being in bondage to Egypt, in Egypt, is a picture for us. It's a type of us being in bondage to sin before we come to Christ. But when we accept Jesus, that's like our Red Sea crossing. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians. He says, we were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That's like coming to Jesus. That's like being saved and accepting Christ. And so just like the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God says, now that you're out of Egypt, he says, you'll not know the diseases. I'll not bring on you the diseases that were on the Egyptians because I'm the Lord who heals you. That same promise is for us today. Now that you're in the world, the world experiences sickness and disease, obviously. And when we were in the world, we're subject to that. But now that you're in Christ, now that you're a new creation in Christ, you and I, we shouldn't be subject to that. And so, how come Christians get sick too? Because we don't know or we don't appropriate what belongs to us. Amen. Hallelujah. This is healing school. Amen. Praise God. God wants you well. And so he says, I'm the Lord. I am the Lord who heals you. Look at chapter 23 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 23. Look at verse 25. Exodus 23 and verse 25, he says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Do you pray over your food? I hope that's not the only time that you pray. And you know, some Christians, they don't even bother to pray over their food. I think we should. I like to recognize that provision has come from God. And I pray, Father, thank you for your provision. And I recognize he's the one that's provided that. Amen. But then I like to pray this way. He says, I'll bless your bread and water. So you can pray over your food this way. Father, you said that you'd bless my bread and my water. That'd be your food and your drink. He says, I'll bless your bread and water. And he says, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. So, Father, I thank you. And just affirm that promise of healing every time you pray over your food. Thank you, Lord. You said that you'd take sickness away from the midst of me. I claim it now. I receive my healing now. Amen. He said that I'll bless your bread and your water, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Look at verse 26. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good news, isn't it? In the New Living Translation, it says, I'll bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. Look at that. I will protect you from illness. That's good, isn't it? Verse 26, there will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives. See, it didn't start out with Mr. Spock. Live long and prosper didn't start out with Spock. It started out with God. He said, I will give you long, full lives. It's God's will that you live long and prosper. Amen? Amen. Not just Mr. Spock's. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he says, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. I'll protect you from illness. Amen. What's he doing? He's revealing his will. He's revealing healing, obviously, it must be his will, amen, if he says this to us. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. Look at this. And the Lord will take away from you what? Can y'all read? Let's say it. And the Lord will take away from you what? All sickness. Amen. So why don't you make this, let's make this declaration. Say this, say, the Lord takes away from me all sickness. Hallelujah. I believe we need to say that again. The Lord takes away from me all sickness. Amen. Let's say it one more time. The Lord takes away from me all sickness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He says, the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none. Everybody say none. None of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. He says, the Lord will. Now, you shouldn't wish that on anybody. Well, I don't think they like me. Lord, just zap them. No. That's not our place. Amen. He says, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Glory to God. What's he doing? He's revealing his will. He's expressing his will toward the people. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Look at Numbers chapter 21 now. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 7. Again, let me set this up to you. So the people, again, they're journeying toward the promised land. And verse 4, it says the people became discouraged on the way. And the word discouraged in the margin of my Bible, it's also the word, it means impatient. And so they were, you know, they were like, you know, again, they were like loading up the car. You know, Moses was like the dad loading up the car, and all the children of Israel were like the kids in the back seat of the car or in the back of the minivan. And he says, you know, they start crying out, are we there yet? Anybody ever heard that? Are we there yet? And then they start fighting with each other. You know, he took my candy. You know, he spilled his drink on me, you know, and all this going on. And so anyway, they're complaining and they're all upset and they're discouraged and they're impatient. And in verse 5, they say, well, there's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless bread that, you know, that comes down out of heaven every day for us supernaturally, but we hate it. And so they begin complaining, and the Bible says these fiery serpents or venomous, poisonous snakes came out and started biting the people, and it says many of the children of Israel died. In verse 7, they came to their senses. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So they realize, hey, we've brought this on ourselves. You know, a lot of stuff is self-inflicted a lot. Not all of it, but a lot of times stuff is self-inflicted. But you know, there's a remedy for that. All we have to do is repent. Amen. All we have to do is repent and turn to God. And he's merciful, thank God. And so he says, they said, we've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Moses, most unusual thing, look at what happened here. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent. So he made out of bronze a replica of the serpents or the snakes that were biting the children of Israel. Why did he do that? Because God told him to. God told him to do that. And so he made a replica of it, and he set it up on a pole where the people could see it. I don't know how big it was, but probably pretty big. You remember there was a lot of the people there. And so he puts it way up on this pole where all the people could see it. And notice it says, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Again, we've got the New Living up there. I'm sorry, Mike, I forgot. You just had the New Living, didn't you? Let's go back and read it out of the New Living. I'll be with you then. Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who were bitten will live if they simply look at it. That's amazing, isn't it? So they're getting bit. So Moses makes this replica of the snake out of bronze, sets it up on a pole, and God said, now when they get bit, tell them just to look at this. Just look at it, and if they do that, they'll live. Wow. Look at the next verse, verse 9. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. Glory to God. So God wanted to heal them, didn't he? I mean, it was their own sin and their own complaining that caused these snakes to be loosed among them. And so when they repented and they said, God, please help us, he said, all right, I'll give you a remedy. Why? Because it's his will that they be healed. Amen. I'll give you a remedy. He said to anyone that's bitten by a snake, if they'll just look at this bronze snake that Moses has made, that I instructed him to make, if they'll just look at it, they'll be healed. They'll be healed. Amazing, isn't it? Notice the people that were bitten, those were the people that had sinned. So don't let the devil tell you, well, now you've so God won't heal you, you've sinned. No, even if you've sinned, if you repent, if you ask God to forgive you, then you qualify. A lot of times people think, well, now I've got to prove to God that I'm, you know, for 6 months before he would heal. No, no. The moment you repent, the moment you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you that moment. And he says, now you're qualified. You're ready to receive healing. See, the Bible talks about in Psalm 103, it says, the Lord forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. In James chapter 5, it says, any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
So don't let condemnation and guilt keep you from receiving your healing. If you've sinned, if you've missed it, repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. That's all they had to do. And they did that. When they repented and they asked God to help them, he did. Amen. You know, a lot of times we have not. The scripture says we have not because we ask not. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I mean, here they are. They're being bitten and the people are dying. It wasn't God's will that any of those people die. Well, why were they dying? Because they hadn't asked God to help them. They hadn't asked God to do something or to intervene. You know, when we ask God, it gives him permission to work in our lives. Amen. And so when they ask him, he said, yeah, I'll provide a remedy. Here's what you need to do. Amen. Now, let me bring that into the New Testament. Let me bring that into where we are today. Look at what Jesus said here in John chapter 3, verse 14. These are the words of Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So Jesus is pointing back to what we just read. Jesus is pointing back to that incident, and he says, that's me. He said, that bronze serpent on the pole, that represents me on the cross. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, there's a spiritual application that Jesus makes here. And the spiritual application is this, and it applies that we were all like the children of Israel in that we were bitten by those serpents and that we were infected with sin. And we were dying spiritually in our sin. And God so loved us that he sent Jesus, and Jesus was lifted up on the cross so that if we would simply believe in him, like those children of Israel would look at that bronze serpent and they would be healed. If we would look to Jesus and call on him, we would receive eternal life and be saved from our sin. Amen?
Amen.
But there's also the application of healing as well, because Jesus not only went to the cross for our sins, but also for our sicknesses and diseases. And the scripture says, with his stripes we were healed. Amen.
Amen.
And so Jesus is saying, if the application is for us today, if we will look to Jesus, that's what he's saying. If we can look at Jesus, then we can be healed, just like the children of Israel when they looked at that bronze serpent and they were healed. Praise God. Look at the Amplified Bible in Numbers 21, verse 9, out of the Amplified. I want to read it out of the Amplified. Look at this. It says, and Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked to the serpent of bronze, notice this now, look, here's how he was to look. Attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. So it's not just take a quick glance up there, but it's, you look attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. That's how they were to look at that serpent on the pole. And Jesus said, if you will look to me that way, you'll have eternal life and you will be healed. Well, let me ask you a question. How do we look at Jesus? Do we find some artist rendering of him? A picture of him on a kite? You know, there's actually, you can buy kites now that have a picture of Jesus on it. We found that out because one of our kids wants one for his birthday. It's not Wesley, so. But I'm not sure. That to me, that borders on irreverent, but I guess that's all right. Praise God. I mean, if you're flying it, oh, praise the Lord. Jesus is coming. He will appear in the clouds. How do we look at Jesus? Do we find some picture, some artist rendering? Well, there weren't photographs back when he was walking on the earth, so we don't have any actual photographs. Some artist rendering of Jesus. How do you look at Jesus? Well, the way we look at Jesus is by looking to the Word. Because Jesus said, or the Scripture says about Jesus in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus and the Word are one. So the way that you gaze upon Jesus, the way that you look at Jesus attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, and the way you see the real Jesus, a lot of people want to fabricate their own image of Jesus to fit their lifestyle, to justify their behavior. But there's only one real Jesus, isn't there? Jesus is not a person that you can just fabricate your own. There's one real true Jesus. He is a real person. He is God. He really lived and walked on the earth. He really died. And the third day he was resurrected. And he is alive today. And he is at the right hand of God. And he is coming back. There is a real Jesus. And the only way that we can know the real Jesus, he's revealed right here in the authoritative book on him, and that's the Bible. This is the only authoritative revelation of the real Jesus. It's the Bible. Amen? I hope you agree with that. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, to be able to see the real Jesus in order to be healed, then we're to look to his Word. Amen. If we will look at the Word of God, if you've been bitten and you're in need of healing, then here's the remedy. Here it is right here. Look at Jesus. In other words, look at the Word attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, that can be a challenge to do that. Just as it was a challenge for the Israelites. Remember, here they are. They're out in the wilderness, and here are all these snakes slithering around. Venomous snakes are biting people. People are being bitten, and they're still slithering around. And Moses makes a bronze serpent, sets it up on a pole, and he says, guys, if you've been bitten, just look at this and keep your eyes on this. Well, somebody's been bitten. They would have a tendency to try to dodge all the snakes that are still slithering around and to keep their eyes on them. Maybe I'm afraid I might get bitten again. No. Get your eyes off that. And look at this. Amen. And stay focused on this. And if you'll look at that, you'll be healed. If you'll look at that, those snakes can't hurt you anymore. Amen. It could be a challenge for them to do that. Just like today, as we're saying, look at the Word. You know, that's fine when you feel fine. But when you feel sick, when you're in pain, when your body's telling you, hey, something is bad wrong here. And we certainly advocate going to the doctor, seeking medical attention. We're all for that. But ultimately, what we need to do is to turn away, not necessarily from medical science, we're not saying do that, but turn away from those symptoms and those circumstances and stop focusing all your attention on that. And again, it's easier said than done, but it can be done because God said to do it. You can do it. We can do it. Amen. and focus your attention, an attentive, an expectant, steady, and absorbing gaze on what God said in His Word. On Jesus, on the revelation of Jesus as your healer. On the revelation of God's Word, that as the Scriptures we've looked at previously already, He says, I'll take away from you all sickness. Look at that Word attentively. Look at that Word expectant. Lord, You said You'd take away from me all sickness. I expect that. I expect that. You said it, Father, and You cannot lie. I expect that. I stay steady on that. I may still have pain or symptoms in my body, but I'm steady on this. He's taking away from me all sickness. Amen. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. It's past tense now. If I was healed, then I am healed. Amen? Amen? Yep. Hallelujah. And I gaze on that, and I talk in line with that, and I think in line with that. And I like this. It's an absorbing gaze. What does it mean? It means I'm absorbing in God's healing power. Amen. It means I'm absorbing in the life of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Jesus, a woman came to Him one time and asked Him to heal and deliver her daughter. And Jesus made this statement. He said, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. There's a whole lot in there we could talk about. Jesus wasn't trying to insult the woman. He was trying to get her into a place of where she would believe and expect, and He did. But here's what I want to call your attention to. Jesus called healing the children's bread. In other words, healing, if you're in a family, you know, in our family, we have a refrigerator and a pantry, as most folks do. And we have some children at home, and at Christmas time, they were all there. There was 9 of us in the house. We not only have children, but we have 2 daughter-in-laws now. 4 sons, a daughter, and 2 daughter-in-laws. Then you had Robin and me, and that was 9 of us in the house. Well, our grocery bill increased at Christmas time when all those folks were in the house. And thank God for the food ministry that helped us out as well. Praise God. You ought to take advantage of that. Amen. And we did, and we do. But our grocery bill went up. Why? Because the food in our house is the children's bread. We didn't put a lock on our refrigerator. We didn't put a lock on our pantry and ration stuff out. We said, kids, you know, anytime you're hungry, I don't know how many dishes Robin did. I mean, she was, you know, she would get through cooking a big breakfast for all of them and get the dishes cleaned up, and then it'd be time to start fixing lunch. But she's smiling about that. She enjoyed every minute of it, I think, having all the kids there. So, but the point I'm making is that we were glad that they were there, and we were glad that they were eating, and we said, look, this food is here for you. And that's what Jesus was communicating. Healing is the children's bread. Our Heavenly Father says, look, healing is a provision. It's in the refrigerator. It's in the pantry. If you're hungry, help yourself. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, take that with that thought. You know the 23rd Psalm. Listen to what David said in Psalm 23 and verse 5. Look at this. He says, you prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. That's what I wanted you to see. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, guess what's on that table? There's bread on that table. The bread of healing is on that table. Healing is on that table that our Heavenly Father has provided for us in the presence of our enemies. Amen. So what does God want you to do? Does he want you, as you sit down at the table and the table is spread right here, does He want you looking back away from the table at your enemies and trying to fight off your enemies? No, He wants you to pull up to the table and partake of the healing, the bread that is on the table. Amen. It's been provided. Amen? Pull up to the table and partake. Don't worry, ignore the enemies. And pull up to the table and partake of the bread that's on the table. He's prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Pull up to the table and partake of healing and victory and blessing. Whatever you need is on that table, and just forget about the enemy. Amen? Amen. Now, certainly there's times where we have to deal with the enemy, where we have to deal with the devil, exercise authority over him. But too many times God's people are turned away from the table. And they don't partake of what's on the table because they're too occupied with the enemy. Amen. Turn away from the enemy. Turn away from the snakes that are still slithering around. Look at that serpent on the pole. Look at the Word. Keep your gaze fixed attentively, expectantly, steadily, absorbingly on the Word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll end with this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It fits right in line perfectly with what we've been saying. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to what? Give attention to what? To my words. Or that'd be to God's word, wouldn't it? Do what? Give attention to it. Give attention to my words. Well, there's a lot of things we can give our attention to. But what we ought to give our attention to is God's Word. Now look, as we read through it here, you'll see why it's so important. Incline your ear to my sayings. You know, there's a lot of junk. There's a lot of sayings out there that people are saying, that the world is saying, that won't do you a lot of good. And too much of the time, we incline our ear to all kinds of sayings that are not in line with God's Word. That's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Do you know he said that? Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And there's a lot of folks who'll spout stuff off and do it in the guise of, oh, well, this is, you know, I heard somebody say this somewhere, so it must be in the Bible. And it's nowhere near biblical truth. Find out what the Word says for yourself. Amen. Get into God's Word and find out His promises. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Look at the next verse. For they are life to those who find them. And look at this. And health to all their flesh. God's Word, His words are health to all our flesh. There's actual healing power, healing virtue, healing power in God's Word. If we'll pay attention to it. He says, my words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, find them doesn't mean, Robin, have you seen my Bible? Where's my Bible? Oh, there it is. I found it. I found my Bible. That's not finding the Word of God. Finding it is getting it into your heart and getting it into your mind. That's how you find it. Amen? Amen. There are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Praise God. God's Word is medicine. God's Word is health to all our flesh. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you tonight. Lord, I just thank you as your word has been proclaimed. I thank you that this healing word has been released. And you just receive it this way. Just receive it. If you're here and you need healing, just receive it. I'm not going to, this is healing school. It's a little bit different than a healing service. We're not going to lay hands on folks tonight unless the Lord directs us to do otherwise in a moment here. But just receive, just activate your faith now that what you've heard tonight, you've heard the Word of God. You've heard His healing words. Just expect and believe right now that those words are working and bringing medicine. See, when you take medicine, orally or however, you know, a shot or whatever it is, it takes a little time for that to go to work, doesn't it? Amen. And so just expect that you've taken a dose of God's healing Word into your body. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. In fact, why don't you make this declaration? Just pray this after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your word. Your word is health, medicine to all my flesh. And I'm taking a dose of your healing word tonight. Jesus, I look unto you. You are the Word of God made flesh. And I see you revealed in the written Word of God. I gaze upon you just like the children of Israel were told to gaze upon that serpent. Say, make this declaration authoritatively. Some of you are just being very timid about it. Won't do you a lot of good if you're real timid. Be authoritative with it. It'll help you. It'll help your faith. I gaze upon you in the name of Jesus. I absorb your healing life, your healing virtue into my body. By your stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Jesus, that you take sickness away from me, that you take away from me all sickness. By your stripes, I am healed. I thank you. Your healing power is working in me, working in my body. I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just...